Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Are we live?
We're live.
All right. Oh, hey there, everyone, and welcome to the Bob After Dark Holiday Special. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever not cape wearing.
Yeah.
And the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, and the cryptid with the red nose that led Santa Slade, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Yeah, hey there, Bob. I'm just checking things on right now, and there we go. Yes, hey, Bob.
Today is a technical...
Happy holidays,
it's
Bob.
It's a technical holiday.
Happy holidays, Bob.
Like,
how
happy holiday. Colin, how are you? It's been...
Good.
The show has been in a weird limbo over the past couple weeks. I've been incredibly sick.
Yeah.
It's been... this year, I feel like I've just been saying the same thing. I've been incredibly sick. You know, I'm just getting so tired of my body at this point.
That Roku thing is driving me crazy. I'm going to walk in there and fix that right now.
All right. But, you know, guys, so I apologize ahead of time as far as my me being sick is concerned. We're doing better. I get to see the doctor on Friday. It's just doing whatever it is that I'm going to be doing. I'm not used to having Count on this side of me, so it's weird to have him here. Normally, this is the part where I'd ask you how your weekend update went, but you're not even in your studio right now. You're on my end. Do you want me to go in there and produce the show tonight? Just leave it. It's fine. Anyway, folks, so Bob After Dark is your weekly-ish paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, well, Count Panic would be saying something, but he's totally busy right now. Folks, it is the holiday season, and tonight is our holiday special. Usually Steve would be joining us for the holiday special, but he's prepping our big toy drive announcement this year, which has been a lot of toys for the Windy City Ghostbusters for the La Rabida Children's Hospital. There is a lot. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on air yet, but by the time I get this out in podcast land, it should be ready to go. We have almost 3,000 toys we're donating to the Children's Hospital, and that's an amazing feat that I'm very proud of. So by the time you guys catch this in podcast land, all of those toys will be out to the children's, and it's a good feeling to have. Folks, other than that, over $1,700 worth of toys are going to make a lot of kids happy this year, and I'm very thrilled about that. I have a very interesting update for you guys. So the other day, there was some national security scare going on about some drones in the sky and potential alien attacks. I almost got dressed and came here and started covering the situation live while we were on air, but that didn't work. You know, that didn't need to be happened. So the first half of the episode today is we're going to talk a little bit about the drones, and we're going to talk a little bit about the situation we have. I have a bunch of articles about it, and then we're also going to talk about I have some Christmas ghost stories to tell you, some short ones, so we're going to get to that here in just a moment. Count Panic looks like he's going to be busy, so if you guys try to call in, I believe he's going to be preoccupied enough to be able to actually answer the phone. So if you're trying to call in, hang in there. Let me read you guys the first thing I found about the drones. This is from NPR, written by Emma Bowman. As drone sightings spread across the East Coast, federal officials still don't know much. This was produced on the 15th, so 2 days prior to my recording. As the mystery grows around the drones flying over New Jersey, which is now going countrywide, I even got pictures of them myself the other day. So do calls from the puzzled residents to authorities about flying machines. Reports of drone sightings have spread from New Jersey to other states, including Pennsylvania, New York, Maryland, Connecticut, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. Federal authorities on Sunday have repeated assurances that drones are not a security threat, but they still don't know where they come from or who is responsible. Meanwhile, some state and federal officials called for Congress to pass expanded legislation that would allow federal authorities to gather resources and mitigate risks from drones. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas told ABC News this week on Sunday that the federal government has deployed additional resources, including personnel and technology, to assist New Jersey State Police with the addressing the drone sightings, and that the Biden administration remains, and I quote, vigilant in investigating the drones. There's no question that the people are seeing these drones, he added, but noted that there are some recent sightings on the East Coast that are likely crewed aircraft or duplicate sightings. He called for Congress to act quickly to extend and expand the current drone countering authorities authorized in the Federal Aviation Administration Reauthorization Act of 2018, which are set to expire on December 20th. The law enables the Homeland Security and Justice Departments to use advanced detection technologies to identify, track, and mitigate drones. It is critical, as we have said a number of years, that we need from Congress additional authorities to address the drone situation, said the Chief Justice on that. A joint congressional subcommittee hearing held last week centered on a bipartisan bill called the Counter UAS Authority Secretary Safety and Reauthorization Act that would expand federal drone countering measures like bolstering the FAA's oversight powers of drones. The federal government is also sending drone detection system to New York government, Kathy Hochul said Sunday. I'm grateful for the support, but we need more, she said on X, passing the counter UAS legislation. She said that in a separate statement, we'll give New York and other peers the authority and resources required to respond to the circumstances like we face today. Representative Jim Hines of Connecticut, who sits on the House Intelligence Committee, said on Fox News Sunday, there is a lot of us who are pretty frustrated right now. We don't know is not a good enough answer, he said, in reference to what is a lack of information from federal agencies. Drone activity over the weekend have forced a pause on air traffic in at least two states. The New York Stewart International Airport runway shut down for an hour on Friday night after the FAA reported drone sightings in an area, a spokesperson confirmed. In Ohio, there was a temporary closure of airspace above Wright-Patterson Air Force Base between Saturday night and Saturday morning as small unmanned aerial systems were spotted in the vicinity and over the base, spokesperson Bob Pierman told NPR. Member station MVXU. During a call with reporters on Sunday, a Pentagon spokesperson acknowledged that there has also been sightings of drones over two other military installations, New Jersey, at Picatinny Arsenal and Naval Weapons Station, Earl, but said the sightings are typical. This is not a new issue for us, the joint staff spokesperson said, according to the Pentagon's news service. We've had to deal with drone drone incursions over our bases for quite some time now. It's something that we routinely respond to in each and every case when reported as sighting. The military maintained over the weekend that there were no signs of foreign adversary involvement. To date, we have no intelligence or observations that would indicate that they were aligned with a foreign actor or that they had malicious intent, the Pentagon spokesperson said. But we don't know. We have not been able to locate or identify the operators or the point of origin. The spokesperson also said the drones are frustrating the Department of Defense, adding that the military has limited authorities to investigate outside the military installations in the U.S. and is prohibited from conducting intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance operations that could help determine the origins of the drones. We don't know exactly what the activity is, the Pentagon News Service quoted the spokesperson as saying. We don't know if it's criminal, but I will tell you that it is irresponsible. I don't know if he's back yet. Normally I'd get the hashtag. Okay.
I'm back.
Okay. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah. Bob, I've been keeping up with the stuff. I mean, drones are everywhere from here in St. John to New Jersey. They're everywhere.
Spotted some in Griffith last Thursday.
Some in Griffith right now as we speak, looming over us, Bob. So I don't know what's going on.
I actually have two photos I caught of them myself.
I think Oh, did you?
Uh-huh. In Griffith. They didn't wear no airplanes.
No.
It's still a little too blurry. I was a little, man, yeah. These lights are bright on me today, Count. I'm looking at myself in the TV. I am glowing.
Let me put your, I didn't even know it was your exposure to Bob. I've been doing so much here. Let me try to expose you. you are glowing.
I am glowing. Like, oh, my goodness. Like a there we go. I look better. Like a
Hold on.
Oh, folks, Scalpin, today is just it's the holiday special of Bob After Dark, so nothing's working out.
You're like Rudolph there, Bob.
I was just like Rudolph there.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the thing. What's going to happen at Christmas time when Santa's trying to find his drive his sleigh around the reindeer, and there's drones in the
there's
way.
There's drones in the way. I legitimately, when I texted you the other night, because Chuck and I were messaging back and forth about the Chuck Paul and
I was wondering why you were texting me at 10 o'clock at night.
Because I was going to ask you if you wanted to come into the studio and start, like, conducting the, like, going over information and letting the phone lines open up. I had a good moment. I was on one of the local Facebook groups.
Were you fighting with people?
I put on there. I was like, you know, I've never advertised Bob After Dark on here before.
Oh, wow.
But just in case you're looking for a show that specializes in this sort of a thing, boy howdy, is Bob After Dark the show for you? And
drones.
Paul Goddard.
What are we? Yeah, well, Paul knows.
Paul Goddard comments. He says, "Bob, I'm proud of you. In the midst of a national crisis, you found a way to self-promote your show."
It's always time for self-promotion.
There's always time for self-promotion.
I know.
Count Panic.
Paul knew. I want to get the story straight, but I think he knew a guy who took the videos of the drones. But you know, people are going out there like yourself and trying to capture these drones. What do we do in this situation, Bob? What should happen?
I don't know. I have a bunch. We have a first caller of the night.
We're going to take a phone
call. Caller, you're on the air live.
First caller, Bob, how are you doing?
Oh, John, you're always the first caller. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I've been kind of following this drone situation. It's really mind-boggling that, you know, the Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, whatever identity of federal government we got out there cannot answer the question what our, you know, the bus light size drones are, you know, flying around these areas, or particularly over these air bases. I mean, it's beyond me that nobody knows anything. So what was it, last week our incoming president Trump said he would shoot him down, you know.
there were people that did. What was it? Somebody in one of the states actually shot one of these things down. At least I heard, and obviously that could be internet speculation. But
well, I don't know. Obviously they're not recommending that. But you know, that's what he's saying. But now yesterday he was on Fox yesterday. And he said that there's nothing to worry about. He's not concerned about it.
You know, normally, I've heard that before.
I mean, normally, you know, he would, you know, because he's the incoming president, he would say, you know, something's going on here or something, you know. But he's not concerned about it. So apparently he knows something, too, that it's not I can't say it's not a big issue, because when you got a bus flying over your head, your home, it is. But I don't know. Either way, I just don't understand. You know, that this day and age, you know, nobody knows. You know, am I right or am I wrong?
John, my job is to cover the unexplained and the unusual. I let everybody else determine their opinions based on what I have.
You being a Ghostbuster, how would you handle the situation?
Look, man, I was driving the other day and I saw two lights, and I got the pictures are blurry, so I didn't really post them because I was driving, and guys, don't take pictures while you're driving. But I saw two lights erratically different from one another in the way they positioned themselves and the way they kind of floated about. One went around the other one, like in a legitimate like pattern. Mm. Now, I understand that there's probably a very easy explanation for this. Did I think that we were being invaded by aliens? Probably not. But the fact is that when top-ranking government officials tell you don't panic, that that's usually a good time to start thinking about panicking. I'm not, yeah, and obviously I joke. I don't mean for everybody to start panicking, but when they're being cited all over the place, especially here in Northwest Indiana, where we have, you know, the BP oil refineries right here, we have steel mills everywhere. City of Chicago is one of the biggest cities in the world. You know, that's a feel of concern, you know?
Yeah, and you mentioned a number of government officials a little while ago, you know, that have no, you know, nobody has an explanation of this, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, mind boggling that, you know, the size of a bus is actually flying, you know, flying up there, and not just one, but multiple of them, you know. And but anyway, Bob, you know what? The more important thing is I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas.
You too, John.
Because that will be here in a few days. So hope Santa is good to you. And, you know, before you know it, we'll be ringing in the new year with Bob After Dark.
You will be. A whole nother 2025, guys, will be.
Yep. Time is going by. So, again, Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
You too, John. Thanks for calling in, as always. We appreciate
that. Sure. Take care.
Now, folks, if you want to call in, we're not a political show, so please, please keep political commentary to oneself. John was fine, but I am not here to listen to a left or right argument. That's
to
not,
shoot him down or not shoot him down?
We're not in an argument about that. If you guys legitimately have a question about the drones, or if you had a sighting over the past weekend, please feel free to call in 219-845-1100.
What happens, Bob, if you shoot at one, then like it starts shooting back?
Man, that's the risk you run by shooting
like lasers
at a drone,
or
I guess.
Like lasers, I'm talking about.
That would be bad. You ever see Mars Attacks? I've seen Mars Attacks.
This is like how Mars Attacks starts,
this
right?
This is exactly it, and you got to do the circle thing. That's how you talk to the Martians.
That's how you get Mars Attacks.
You know, that's exactly it. I don't know. I don't know, you know, there's got to be something going on there. I don't know what that something is. My, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory show by any means either, but it is interesting that all this is kind of going on right now. You know what I mean? I have a couple other articles I want to read about them. Read about these drones because it's an interesting.
I should call Chuck up right now.
Chuck would scream at you if you call. You call him up.
I'm gonna call him.
Call Chuck. We're gonna call Chuck Poland live on air.
Can we do it live? It's
call Chuck live on air. We're gonna see if he answers.
Let's see here. All right.
Because we're Chuck Poland. Everybody is one of WJOB's economic and political analysts, but he also has a soft side for the unexplained and unusual. We're going to see if we can get him on the show to get his opinion. I also have a transcript here from the U.S. Department of Defense from Secretary Major General Pat Ryan holds an off-camera, on-the-record press briefing. This was yesterday. So I'm going to read you guys a little bit about that press kit if Chuck answers the phone. We're going to see. Hold on. We have. All right. Do we have an interview?
We have, with his intake input on these drones. We got Chuck Pullen on the line.
Now, Chuck, I just warned everybody that we're not getting into political arguments here. We're not going to mention the bike path today, Chuck, but I appreciate you taking a call. You're on your way to the hot zone right now in Jersey, man.
Yeah, we're just waiting on those. Getting some 12-gauge anti-drone rounds and my hunting rifle, and we'll be on our way. But no, actually, the area I'm going to has been kind of a hotbed. My relative sent me a couple of videos already, and you know, what's interesting is they live not too far from Philadelphia, so they're used to seeing, you know, airplanes and stuff like that. So it's not one of the things where people say, well, I was listening to a podcast earlier, and they're just saying, well, it's mass hysteria. People, you know, especially like here in Chicago, we see planes overhead every day. You know the difference. You know, we all grew up with planes landing all over the place here in the region. We're used to it. You know what a plane looks like. You know what a plane's supposed to do. Planes don't go sideways and up and down and things like that, you know. So, so I'm really interested when I get out there just to kind of see what's going on. I'm going to bring my camera with my long lens and see if we catch anything because, again, it's an interesting phenomenon, right?
So. Chuck, what are you your personal opinions? What do you think's going on here? Do you think we have direct alien contact, or do you think something else is just kind of going on that no one wants to talk
about?
See,
you call me, you say, don't get political, and then you ask that opinion out there. But, so here, you know what? I was talking to somebody about this earlier.
Yeah.
And Bob, I think you'd appreciate this. We recently, a couple weeks ago, there was another hearing in Congress about UAPs, right?
Yes.
So I don't know if you follow that at all.
I do.
It's interesting because, you know, I told somebody the other day, I said, think about this. There's never been a Project Blue Book for ghosts or for Bigfoot or anything like that. There's only been a government investigation for UFOs, or now we call them UAPs.
Right.
So, I mean, as far as that, we know that the government's been studying something. They've been looking into something for how long? Since the, you know, the 40s, the 50s. That they've spent untold millions of dollars and resources on Project Blue Book and all these different projects and these investigations. So clearly they're looking for something. And so, you know, what's happening now is really interesting because a lot of the footage that I've seen, these craft have what we would consider standard navigation lights, right? So I doubt that somebody's going to come from another dimension and just happen to have the approved FAA lighting on their UFO. So, I mean, when you talk about what's happening now, it's really interesting because, again, you know, in that area of New York, it's a very crowded area. You've got major airports all over New Jersey, Philly, LaGuardia, Kennedy, you name it. And so, you know, this is something where, you know, we joke about it, but it could very well be a very serious issue. I was watching a video the other day of a plane that, you know, sucked a bird into its engine and had to declare an emergency. So, I mean, again, if this is just some people playing a prank, you know, it's a very serious thing. So, I hope that all levels of government are taking this seriously because it, you know, whatever it is, it definitely can pose a hazard for aircraft in that area. So
100%. Now, Chuck, that's probably one of the smartest takes I've heard. I've heard a lot of nonsense over the past weekend. Ooh. As you've seen, I tagged you in my shameless self-promotion plug in the midst of a crisis. You saw some of the things that people are saying and believing, and I think you had the best take. If it is a prank, it's a seriously scary prank.
Mean, you know, I'm here in St. John, and we just had a drone show the other day. And to see what, you know, what you can do with a bunch of, you know, just the technology, how far it's, I mean, I remember when we first started playing with little drones, and now to see hundreds of them in the sky, you know, making the shape of Frosty the Snowman is pretty amazing to see that up close and personal, to see what they're capable of doing. So just from, you know, the entertainment aspect, it's really neat to see what the possibilities are. But of course, you know, governments are going to government. So when they see this technology, they're going to say, how can we use this for, you know, for defense or for war? We've seen that a little bit like in the Ukraine-Russia situation where they're using drones against each other. So again, I can see the military aspect of this as well. And that's the other thing that we have to look at. I mean, obviously, you've heard the stories about, missing nuclear material in New Jersey. And it's really a government, a covert government investigation to find missing nuclear materials and, you know, all kinds of things. And you know, in this world, I always say the truth is often stranger than fiction. So it could be any number of things, right? I mean, but the idea that the mass hysteria aspect of it is laughable when people, you know, literally are posting videos every night from different areas. But, you know, the idea that it's gone from New Jersey to now there's people reporting it. I was listening to Wright-Patterson, which is not too far from us in Ohio, went in the lockdown the other day because of a drone. There's people seeing drones, you know, here in the Chicagoland area out west. So this is one of those things where I, you know, part of it may be real and part of it may be people just looking for something interesting to film for their TikTok. So I think it's fun that, you know, for me, it's interesting that I'll be out that way next week. So I'll definitely spend a few nights staring at the sky and seeing what I see.
We appreciate that, Chuck. Now, I got to ask you, if it is aliens, are you ready to follow our alien overlords into the future? Or are we going to resist or what?
Well, I'll be honest. If I was an alien and I flew over here, I'd be like, you know what? Roll up the windows. We're going somewhere.
lock the doors.
Lock the doors, roll up the windows. Let's go someplace. Let's go to some planet that's not crazy. You know, these guys aren't ready yet. But again, if you want to talk about that, there's an interesting philosophy about the idea that we really didn't start seeing craft until we became a nuclear power. There's a lot of theories. I've heard a lot of discussion about the idea that craft have shut down nuclear power plants. They often see craft around, you know, the people back when they were testing the first nuclear bomb. So, yeah, we saw UFOs all the time out there. So this idea that there's some sort of connection between, you know, UAPs and either you know, nuclear power plants and nuclear weapons is a very interesting philosophy. This idea that, you know, when we set off those nukes and in the 40s, that it basically was like this big beacon to the rest of the universe, you know, that we have this power. And it's all, the question is, you know, are they doing it to check up on us? Like, oh, those hairless apes have got nuclear weapons now. You know, let's see how this work plays out. But, you know, the other interesting thing about it is, if you think about it, for those of us that are of this generation, we've spent our whole life, you know, we've been prepared for this between E.T. and Starman. And, you know, for decades now, we've been prepared for this idea of alien visitors, close encounters of the third kind. All these. So, I mean, again, you know, other than the occasional Independence Day, you know, they've been pretty nice guys. So I think, you know, my philosophy has always been, when going back to Project Blue Book and all this stuff, I said, you know, I feel that the government has a responsibility to tell us what they found. You know, there's people that claim whenever there's a UFO crash that these black helicopters and black SUVs show up in different countries and you know, make off with the materials and things like that. So I think that for me, that's an interesting discussion is, you know, our government's been studying this phenomena for nearly 100 years now. I'd like to know what they have. And I'm glad to see that we're having these congressional hearings. At the end of the day, I think, you know, going back to X-Files, the truth is out there. You know, I think just at the end of the day, everyone deserves to know what's going on, not just a select few, you know, in Washington or wherever.
There you go.
Chuck, that's, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for taking our call live. I know it was unprepared.
He's,
but
he's in bed right now.
He's in bed.
I'm in bed watching some Joe Bob. I usually try to catch your show in the morning on my way to work. But I'll definitely check in with you if we if I see anything out there in New Jersey, I'll go in live and you know, we can chime
in. Can you go live on Facebook and like take calls? There's ways to do that.
Well, you can figure it out because next week's Christmas Eve, so I don't
know.
We're not here. No, but we could be here. You're the one saying no.
I can't be here.
You can't be here. I get it.
No, but if something comes up, Bob, I'll definitely send you a message. If I see anything cool, I'll send you a message. I'll go live. Stuff like that. I'm going to bring some of my toys out there and see if we can get a good shot. But like I said, you know, the area I'm going to has been a hotbed recently. My family says they see them nearly every week. They've seen, you know, again, multiple lights. And, you know, it's one thing when you're in the pattern. Like I said, you know, we're in the pattern of like Midway Airport. You know what those lights look like. And it can be a little weird to see a bunch of lights lined up, but it makes sense. The other thing I would tell people is get the flight apps. If you're always saying, what is that light in the sky? You can always put up on I forget what that is, that called FlightAware, whatever that app is called. Mm-hmm. You can see somebody posted a picture earlier. Apparently there's a unidentified red balloon flying over Chicago tonight. So keep on the lookout for that.
Wow.
You know, or if you see a bunch of lights in the sky, it might be Elon and his Starlink trains, you know, getting ready to provide some more,
Santa.
Know, satellite internet.
Could be Santa.
So, but there's a lot of stuff out there, but you know, at the end of the day, it's an interesting thing and hopefully we'll get to the bottom of it soon. And hopefully it's something, you know, fun and not something serious or threatening to humanity.
Something like fun, hopefully.
Hopefully something fun.
Like drops balloons out, like, or something.
I think it's Amazon. Amazon is testing their new on-demand drone delivery.
Maybe that's all this is. It's just Jeff Bezos doing Jeff Bezos things.
Yeah, well, or Elon. He figures in a couple weeks he can pretty much he's going to run the show, so he doesn't have to ask the FAA for permission anymore.
Fair enough.
Go.
Chuck, thank you so much for taking some time
out.
Have
a good night. Have a good show.
See you, Chuck.
Hey, thanks, Chuck. That was great. And folks, if you want to call in, and again, Chuck is the guy when it comes to the political arguments. He's so good at it, and I'm very proud of him for keeping that good. And just so FYI, we got fan mail from Chuck saying they'd like him on for a regular guest.
There you go. I'll have to get him on here. Who else could I call up right now?
I just start calling the Challenger Center. Call up random people. If not, guys, 219-845-1100. You're welcome to call in with your sightings. We'd love to hear it. Now, I got a little bit I want to read about this Pentagon press secretary transcript, right, from the United States Department of Defense. I have never directly quoted the Department of Defense's website before on our show, and I am very proud I have that moment.
Yeah, no, you look at you.
I am not going to read all of this because it is a lot to read. So I'm going to read you guys the first several paragraphs, and we'll go on and we'll dive in and talk a little bit about it. I am not the show where you guys come on here for political debate. I need to preface that again. I am not here for political debate. I am not a political show. I'm not a conspiracy theory show, but this stuff is interesting. And at the end of the day, what are we dealing with? It's the unexplained. And that, everybody, is what Bob After Dark is all about, is the unexplained, right?
Yep.
Excellent. All right, so this is from the Pentagon Press Secretary, Major General Pat Ryder, holds an off-camera, on-record press briefing. So this is from the 16th. This is the top news we could possibly get. So, just if, and this is directly quoting Major General Pat Ryder, just a few things, then we'll get right to your questions. As many of you saw, Secretary Austin traveled to Landover, Maryland on Saturday to attend the Army-Navy game. This was the fourth year attending as the Secretary of Defense. He had a chance to spend some time with midshipmen and cadets of both academies and thank them for their service professionalism and commitment to the nation's defense. So on behalf of the Secretary Austin, we'd like to graduate the Navy on winning their game. Back here, let's see, I'm scrolling down here, folks. Congratulations on the Navy winning their game. Let's see here. Count, give me a second, because I lost my train.
I'll give you a second. I'll turn the camera to me, too, just in case anybody wants to, you want some private time there, Bob. But yes, very important breaking news always on BAP After Dark. The people come to hear, Bob, for breaking news and UFOs and paranormal and drones, and I'm happy we provide that service to them. So, and also for people watching on Jed TV, I know some people hopped on over to watch because, you know, satellite's on, but on the radio, but welcome on the Jed TV side of things as well. It's I'm sorry I don't have a cape on, but you know, there's a lot going on before the show. I was juggling a lot of things. I didn't get the cape on in time, Bob, but I think people could forgive me on that. It's Christmas.
It's the holiday season.
I took the cape off it for Christmas because the veil, Bob, is at its thinnest.
It is. All right, so let's talk. I got here's a quick Q&A because there's a lot of back and forth things about Russia and again, and I'm not one of those types of shows, but we need to have a conversation about what they're talking about with these drones. Mm-hmm. This is during a press conference. This is from their interviewer. Just a couple quick ones about the drones. When was the last time the U.S. military shot down a drone over the installation in America? The Major General replies, I'd have to take that question. Nothing recent? Yeah, I'd have to take that question. And again, I mean, not to say that, as I highlighted earlier, that we're not taking these concerns seriously. But in some way that there's a traffic stop at the base doesn't get any attention because something we're kind of used to it now. There could be a base where they've determined that there's small drone flying somewhere and they use appropriate measure in coordination with law enforcement to either knock the drone out of the sky. It wouldn't necessarily have to be kinetically, or they just monitor it. So I'd have to take that question. And then different things obviously pop up in social media. Some say that they've been seeing drone in X place and Y. What is the scale of the Pentagon? What is the scale the Pentagon is looking at? Is it just in New Jersey? What are you? How many reports are you, I guess, you're looking at? Again, this is back and forth between the two. So Major General Ryder responds, yeah, no, that's an important question. And I would tell you is that I would refer to the DHS and the FAA to talk about from a domestic U.S. airspace standpoint in terms of scope. I know that there was a background call over the weekend and that the transcript is posted to the White House website. And they said there were 5,000 reported cases and about 100 of them deemed credible enough to look into.
Wow.
So this was just from this weekend alone. So 100 cases out of 5,000 they're determining are worth looking at. I understand in the grand scheme of things, that may not seem like a lot, but let me put this in perspective for you. Can you imagine how many like hot tips the government gets on, you know, UFOs, aliens, paranormal activity? You know, they probably get a lot of those types of tips. I believe it. You know, the X-Files is based on something. The fact that they took 100 cases of these drone things seriously means something. That's a crazy amount to me. Yeah. I would imagine a much lower number.
You would think.
Now, other important facts here is that they assess the initial indications that are many cases sightings are actually manned aircraft, right? The other is a potential for double counting, whereas there may be multiple reports, but it's a single sighting which then becomes conflated into multiple recorded sightings, which I agree with too. You know, one person sees something and then they look up in the sky and they see, you know, a plane and now all of a sudden they think it's a UFO.
Yeah.
I get the mass hysteria angle to this. I honestly really wanted to go live to do the War of the Worlds recording, you know?
Well, I mean, there's still a possibility for that, Bob. Back then, though, there was no social media, so it was really terrifying.
All right, so let's get back finishing here. So again, from the Department of Defense standpoint, we're continuing to work closely with interagency, with the DHS, the FAA, FBI, and others. But obviously, from our standpoint, our main equities are on the DoD installations. And so far, we have seen nothing that would indicate malicious activity for foreign nexus or anything that has operational impact on our ability to do our mission or no, nor physical threat to our personnel. The next question is also about drones. There were reported drone sightings over Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. Are those all related to what is being seen in New Jersey and other parts of the country? Is there any indication of that? So I'd refer you to the Air Force for more details on that, but to my knowledge, we're not necessarily seeing any connection between these. What?
Yeah.
How are you?
I mean, yeah.
Kyle, how?
It's a little strange, isn't it, when you really break it down?
Seeing any connection between these. Again, you get upwards of 8,000 drones flying across the country on any given day, over a million drones registered in the United States. Great, fine, and dandy. But when you have law officials legitimately not knowing what these things are that are flying over certain areas.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. No, it's a little fishy, Bob.
And yes. And so, as I highlighted, the occasional drone coming near or over the base itself is not necessarily unusual. Sure, I'll give you that. But what about all these states that are seeing them at once? You know?
Yeah.
And the concerning drone activity that we've been talked about in the past, like at Langley, that's one of the New Jersey sightings. And so, yeah, the right path goes through. I'd refer you to the Air Force.
Yeah.
Soak out. We're gonna sum it all up here. Yeah. What is your take on this drone situation so we can put it to bed once and for all?
Bob, I'm hoping, like you said earlier, it's a, you know, I hope they're just that it's a whole lot of nothing, maybe some hooey, maybe it's just people flying drones. Hopefully it's nothing evil or attack of any sorts against us as a society, but hoping for the best. I mean, there's got to be an answer somewhere, Bob. I don't know really how to explain it or what's going on. I'm just hoping for a good outcome here. No attacks. That's the main thing. How about you?
It's rough, man. There's things out there we can't explain. And the fact that there's so many of these, and we just had congressional hearings earlier this year and last year all about these UAPs and stuff. It's like, here's the thing, right? Government basically says these things exist. It's kind of hard to backpedal now, yeah. You know? That's like putting a Band-Aid over a crack in a dam.
Can't do it.
You can't do it. It's not going to work. You know, when you admit that something's going on, you can't backpedal and say that. And pardon me for not, you know, believing something that the government tells you. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to this sort of
thing. Now who's getting political?
I'm not. But it's the truth, though. Yeah. Again, I'm not getting political, but I'm saying if you're telling me UAPs are a thing and we can't explain what these UFOs are, and they're saying these things have been in the ocean and all of this jazz, You can't sit here and tell me that these things just are normal phenomena. If these drones are popping up at high security clearance places, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, right around Christmas time, Bob, but the veil is at its thinnest, this is happening. Just the timing just is... makes no sense.
Absolutely. So, Count, you ready to take a quick break?
Yeah.
All right, folks. For our live fans, we'll be right back into our podcast fans. Stick around. You're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
I'm folklorist and author Mark Muncy.
And I'm author Erica Lanz.
And we host Eerie Travels.
It's a podcast where we discuss all things strange and unusual.
We discuss everything from Bigfoot to UFOs.
From Mothman to haunted locations.
From hidden history to legendary beasts.
From cocaine bear to the Jersey Devil.
From holler monsters to conspiracy theory.
We interview amazing guests that are actual investigators into the things that many believe to only be in the world of the imagination.
We also get into verbal debates about which monsters would win in a fight.
If any of this sounds interesting to you, then join us twice a week on your favorite podcast platform.
So look for Eerie Travels, and we'll see you on the other side.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
I went to look for drones.
I also went to look for drones.
What, did you find any?
No.
I didn't find anything either.
No, you know what I did find?
What's that?
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, and Rudolph.
The most famous of all.
Yes.
Yeah. There's got to be more backstory with the other Raiders, though, I feel like. They don't have a lot of backstory.
They're flying. They're cryptids, man.
You approved that. There was an episode about this, right?
I don't think we did an entire episode about flying reindeer.
They have them out there.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Now, folks, it is the holiday season. I'm wearing my Merry Mothman's holiday sweater here. And I'm not going to spend the entire episode talking about drones. I just wanted to spend some time a little bit talking about it because it's the biggest deal I think I've ever covered on the show as far as breaking news is concerned, because here we are. It's something right here in front of us. It's big unexplained news, and it just feels like we're not getting proper answers to what we're seeing. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, there should be some kind of answers here.
Exactly. But and because it's the holiday season, I have some very short, simple Christmas ghost stories for
you.
Okay,
yeah.
Did you know that once upon a time ago, folks, it was not uncommon for on Christmas Day, families would get together and tell ghost stories? That's how they used to do it back in Victorian age. So they'd get together and tell a good ghost story. I remember several years ago, I held a seance on Christmas. It's just one of those things you do. Veils thin, if you're of the witchy persuasion, Yule starts this Friday, I believe. So Friday is Yule season, veils thin. It's veils getting to the thinnest it can be. It's one of the times of year where it becomes the thinnest.
Yeah, it's as we speak, it's a razor thin.
It's pretty close. Next week will be the thinnest, so it's a good time to talk about some Ghostmas. Ghostmas.
Ghostmas. Merry Ghostmas.
Ghostmas. Merry Ghostmas. I think that's going to be the term, Merry Ghostmas. So here's some 10 Merry Ghostmas stories for you guys. I got this website from the CarterHeelsSchool.com, written by, it just says books. And this is from 2019. I'll just read this to you guys. A few weeks ago, a Sismonian article from Colin Dickey called for a plea to resurrect Christmas tradition of telling ghost stories. It was making its rounds, and back in the day in Victorian England, this was a very major big thing. And it wasn't until we got to, more mid-century when people started really looking more at the commercialization of the holidays, when we started moving away from the spiritual and spooky side of the holidays. But then you get a movie like The Muppet Christmas Carol. And I know you're going to laugh at me.
Yeah.
I know you're going to laugh at me. But if you look at The Muppet Christmas Carol, it is the perfect movie for a balance of the paranormal and get that vibe. It is. Yeah. And I'm not saying that to be funny.
No.
It's the best rendition, the best telling of Charles Dickens' classic tale. And there's so much visual there about the paranormal. It's so good. And I think that we need to bring these things back. I think it's really important. You have traditions all over the world, including things like the Merryloud from Wales, which is a skeleton horse that rhymes at you. You have the Yule Lads, which are elves. You have Frau Perchta that cuts your stomach open and stuffs coals in there. Krampus. Mm. Then you have Count Panic, the famous Christmas creature himself.
Along with Yule Cat,
Yule Cat. You have all these things, and we just don't talk about them. The Yeti.
Rudolph.
Absolutely, 100%.
But the Muppet Christmas variation, because Bob, as you know, I've kind of been wrapped up as a vampire the past 2 weeks with all things Dickens and ghost, and the Muppets portrayal is one of the best versions, as you said, and of course Marley and Marley. Where else are you gonna have
their hearts were painted black.
I'm gonna bump out with that when we
leave.
That's
what we're gonna bump
today.
Out with.
Yes.
I think tonight's Marley and Marley. All right, so Count. Other than Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, which is probably the most famous paranormal story
Lots
around Christmas, I have another one for you guys called The Old Nurse's Story. This is by Elizabeth Gaskell, written in 1852, a classic Gothic Victorian ghost story replete with ancestral secrets, organ music, and a seriously haunted house. Quick little excerpt. I turned towards the long, narrow windows, and there, sure enough, I saw a little girl less than my Miss Rosamond, dressed in an outfit to be out of doors, such as bitter night crying and the beating against the window panes as she wanted to be let in. She seemed to sob and wail till Miss Rosamond could bear it no longer and was flying to the door to open it when all of a sudden, and close upon us, the great organ pealed out as so loud and thundering, it fairly made me all tremble, and all the more I remember me not of that, even in the stillness of the dead cold winter. I heard no sound other than the battering hands upon the window glass, although the phantom child had seemed to put forth all its force, and although I had seen it wail and cry, no faintest touch of sound had fallen upon my ears. Whether I remember all of this at the very moment, I do not know. The great organ sound had stunned me into terror. But this I know, I caught up with Miss Rosamond before she got to the hall door opened and clutched her and carried her away, kicking and screaming, into the large bright kitchen where Dorothy and Agnes were busy making mince pies. So in this case, within the story of the old nurse's story, we have this ghostly apparition that makes organ music appear and scares our two characters into fright.
Yeah. Well, that's the, I mean, Bob, anytime you hear organ music, you know, generally there's something going to happen right after that, I would say. So, frightful indeed.
So I'm just going to be reading you guys excerpts. These are all different ghost stories that you guys could go look up and read. A lot of them are quick reads, but I'd be here all night.
And this is from, where can people find this?
These are all public domain things, easy to find. Okay. Easy to find. 1861's John Berwick Harwood's A Horror, A True Tale is a slow-burning suspense of this tale is enough to make your hair curl on or turn white overnight, just like the narrator. I have heard since of the Scottish belief that those doomed to some great calamity become fae and are never supposed to be disposed for merriment and laughter as before it the boat. Excuse me. I'm going to reread that, guys. A lot of this old text is hard to get
the
out of your mouth.
Text.
Yep, let me try this again. I have heard since then of the Scottish belief that those doomed to some great calamity become fae and are never so disposed for merriment and laughter as just before the blow falls. If ever mortal was fae, then I was so on that evening. Another one is Bring Me a Light by Jane Margaret Hooper, 1861. Snow White's stepmother got nothing on the vengeful Lady Henrietta. The story details on her evil deeds and poisoned her family home for generations. She paced to and fro, turning and returning with savage, stealthy quickness. The day waned and the night began. Her servant came to see if she were wanted and was sent away with a haughty negative. She is busy with some wicked thought, murmured the old woman. Another one is The Ghost Summons by Ada Busian in 1868. A doctor is hired to witness a man's final hours. Would you be willing to earn £1,000? £1,000? His words seem to burn in my very ears. I should be thankful if I could be so, honestly, I replied with dignity. What's the service required for me? A peculiar look of intense horror passed over the white face before me, but the blue-black lips answered finally, to attend a deathbed. And so that's a whole story of Christmas time while a doctor is doing some hospice work.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Another one is The Kit Bag by Algernon Blackwood in 1908. Sarah saw the title of the story and thought, the kit bag, and then read it only to find herself shrieking, ah, the kit bag. The story is a great reminder why it's a bad idea to defend a murderer. It is difficult to say exactly at what point fear begins when the causes of that fear are not plainly before the eyes. Impressions gather on the surface of the mind, film by film, as ice gathers upon the surface of the still water, but often so lightly that they claim no definite recognition from their consciousness. Then, a point is reached where the accumulated impressions become definite emotion, and the mind realizes that something has happened. With something of a start, Johnson suddenly recognized that he felt nervous, oddly nervous. Also, for that some time past, the causes of this feeling had been gathering slowly in his mind, but that he had only just reached the point of where he was forced to acknowledge them. So what do you think so far? Do you think it's worthy to bring back some ghost stories on Christmas time?
Yeah, you know what, Bob? People kind of use it sometimes for a reason to sit around a fire during the wintertime and tell some ghost stories. But, you know, like we started here, Dickens, the ultimate probably Christmas ghost story. And, you know, the story kind of still, when he wrote that ages ago, still kind of resonates today, right? Corporate greed and, you know, if you get visited by three ghosts and you give your employees raises, I guess that's depends on what happens.
Count Panic, I think you're going to get visited by three spirits tonight to give me a raise.
Oh, man. Who's giving me the raise, though? That's the first thing. We got to.
You're the greedy businessman, Ebenezer Panic.
You're the one that's wanting to show up at Christmas Eve, Bob.
Look, man, I'm all about coming in here on Christmas Eve.
Well, you could tell ghost stories.
I would.
That could be a Bob After Dark special.
It might be a Bob After Dark set
on your porch. There, maybe,
come on by, folks. I'll tell you all ghost stories like Christmas.
Just they'll start a fire on the porch and let people walk by. You can tell ghost stories. But, you know, that whole story there is timeless, you could say. So a lot of these stories, not just Dickens ones, but stories you're telling, maybe not as well known as Dickens, of course, Christmas Carol, but still resonate during this time for sure.
Absolutely. Now, Count.
Yeah.
It is time for us to do a tradition here on the Bob After Dark Holiday Special, and that is I gave you a gift.
You did, Bob.
I would like you to open said gift, please.
I'm going to keep, you know what, the one before I do that, let me just keep track of one thing here.
Okay, no problem.
I want to make sure.
Panic's going to be keeping track of something to make sure we're still alive, I guess.
I'm wondering, Bob, you mind if I test a theory out here?
Yeah, I like theories.
We might have to stretch this a little bit here, but I just want to see what happens because of my own curiosity here. When 10 o'clock hits, I want to see what happens here. I want to see if we get back. I want to see if it bounces us back to the radio. I'm very curious about this. So if you mind stretching it out a little. I know it's weird for me to say stretch the episode out, but I'm curious.
No, you're fine. Usually we start wrapping it up right about
I'm curious to see if we can, once we make it 10 o'clock, what happens on the radio side.
Would you open your gift at least?
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to.
Well, I mean, I have a PSA behind that, too.
Do that during the radio. If we're back on the radio, this happens.
You can open. Who's going to look at that on the radio? The radio's audio. Open your gift.
Okay, I'm going to open the gift right now.
You guys see what I'm dealing with here?
So look at okay, it's look, a very
it's,
nice.
It's a very nice. I didn't wrap it, but you could take definitely a look at it.
I feel like now my gift won't be as nice because this one's wrapped up.
Can you just give me a plastic bag? It's fine. Are you going to take your sweet time opening that, doing some ASMR?
Can you hear it? I'm sure it sounds fine right there. What we got here? Oh, look at that, Bob. Look at that. It's an ornament.
Yes.
It's like a tradition. Now I'm sensing a theme here. I feel like ornaments now are becoming your thing for me.
Yes, you've been getting them every year. So what'd you get there?
I'm showing it to the camera there a little bit. It's but I'll read it out here. It's Just Believe Keepsake. It's the Yeti carrying Santa Claus with a big sack on his back. And it's like a mini Santa Claus compared to the Yeti. And he's like, God, I'm in like a baby strap.
The Yeti's helping deliver
presents.
I'm telling you, Count, it's a good thing.
Wait,
you know
what? I'm silly. I could probably zoom this camera. I'm zooming you in and out.
You're zooming me in and out.
You know, this is what happens when you don't. This is what happens when you don't work here full time anymore. You forget how to operate. Okay, if you're watching on Jet TV, this is something to look at. Wait, the camera's moving by itself. I don't know how it's doing that. Hold on, there we go.
There you are.
You can see it right there.
It's such a good. It's a good ornament.
It's very cool.
Yes.
Now, this is from the Hallmark.
That is from Hallmark. Not sponsored, guys. We're not Hallmark. If you're looking to sponsor a paranormal podcast, my DMs are open.
But the thing with Hallmark, they don't do the same ornaments every year, right? It's like a different. I think it's something different every year.
Yes. Now, folks, I always end the holiday.
Well, wait, Bob.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll wait. You're giving me the look. I'll wait. Hold on.
I got something for you here,
that's fine. I'll wait on the PSA. You could bring it in here.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'll wait on my PSA. This is the most un-put-together episode.
The PSA? What's the PSA?
I have a PSA every year about the holiday season. Every year. I'll tell my PSA while you walk it over here.
All right.
Folks, the holiday season is a tough time for a lot of people. It is a tough time for me. You know, it's hard being on the holiday season without Dad, especially with his birthday, like right after Christmas. And I'm just one story. There's people out there with a lot more tragedy in their lives going on than just me, right? And the holidays are rough. And some people have it easy, and that's great. But the people that have it rough sometimes have it even harder when they're losing, you know, a mental battle. So this is my PSA is, you know, if you know somebody that's struggling really bad, offer them a line out to say hello. Give them a holler. Give them a shoot them a DM real quick. Just say I'm thinking about you. Let them, you know, get a quick vent if it's a possibility. Get them the help they may need. Help them get put in the direction they may need. I love every single one of you. I'm not the poster child for good mental health by any means, but I do want to recognize that it's important for people to take care of one another during this time. It's important to be kind to one another and to be patient with one another, because I don't think there's enough of that in the world. So give a little bit of love in your heart, I think is the song from Scrooged.
Yeah, Scrooge, a great variation.
A better man, something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Put a little love in your heart. Is that the song?
I believe that's, it's been a long time since I've seen Scrooge, but Scrooge, Bill Murray, another fantastic
So, guys, just take care of one another this holiday season, and if you're struggling, we're all here for you. We want to make sure that you're here for another holiday season, and we want to take care of you. So if you're struggling, or if you know somebody struggling, get some help. There's people out there that care, I promise.
You're here.
Yep.
Now, all Bob, right. I'm going to walk this around. All it's right. nothing yep. as extravagant, but one second.
Anything I receive from Count Panic is always extravagant, folks. Don't let him lie to you. It's always a nice thing when I receive something from Count Panic, and I always appreciate it. This is our several Christmas together, and it's always nice to have. Oh, look at that. That is a hot cocoa mug. With some hot chocolate. Oh my goodness, with a mint chocolate cookie square, so I could have some mint hot cocoa. Count Panic, thank you very much. A man needs his hot cocoa during these cold months to keep him warm.
I was gonna say, Bob, it gets cold around these areas, these parts, so I figure that's a nice little mug. You know, it's a little Christmassy mug, so enjoy your hot cocoa there.
I certainly will. Thank you, Count Panic. It's very kind of you, and I hope you enjoy your ornament.
Yeah, Bob, it's gonna hang from the highest of tree limbs.
That's excellent.
You could say.
All right, folks. Thank you for
watching. Well, wait, Bob.
It's 10 o'clock. It's my theory. It's 1 minute till.
But my theory, we got to make sure. I want to test this theory out, Bob.
Okay, no problem.
So if you don't mind.
No problem. I'm going to do the outro very slowly, okay? Because we have 1 minute
wait,
till.
I'll ask you one question.
Yeah, hit me.
It'll be a Christmas question. Bob, favorite Christmas movie besides The Muppets Christmas?
Scrooged.
Oh, we just mentioned that too.
Scrooged, Ernest Scared Christmas. Ernest Saves Christmas is one of my absolute favorites, but Scrooged is one of them. The Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, and that is absolutely horrific. My second favorite rendition of that creature.
Ernest Saves Christmas, when it was on the Disney Channel all those
years?
That's
a Disney one, but it's so good. So
it was very good. Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way is good up until the ending, and then it gets a little weird.
Turbo Man.
Yeah, Turbo Man.
Yeah. Home Alone, somebody said, I saw a thing about Home Alone. Nowadays it wouldn't work because Kevin would just text his mom now.
Like, exactly. Hey, Home Alone is a very dated idea.
I'm alone.
Grow up in Chicago, and there's those scenes where he's walking around, like, outside, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, those are my neighborhoods.
Now, I wanted to test this, and John just confirmed.
That we're back on the radio?
We're on the radio. So let's do the episode again.
I'm going home. I have two children's hospital visits tomorrow.
You do? Bob, you want to say just a shout out to those places.
Yeah, we did it earlier, but tomorrow for the beginning of my day, we're dropping off toys at the La Rabida Children's Hospital. Nearly 3,000 toys. I'm not going to give the exact number because I know we're supposed to have social media posts. So nearly 3,000 toys were given to the La Rabida Children's Hospital. I'm doing that on behalf of the Windy City Ghostbusters. And then I turn around and I go over to Lori's Children's to go pay a hand for Bob After Dark. I was invited to go help out some of the parents shopping for the inpatient kids with little shopping area they have set up for the kids that can't physically go home on Christmas.
That's so nice of you, Bob.
Yeah, well, yeah. Bob After Dark, we've been partnering with Extra Life this year, so it benefits Lori. So I have two children's hospital visits, then I'm off to Wonderverse for the side hustle job.
Oh, man.
So it is a busy, busy Wednesday for Bob.
You're busier than Santa.
If you ask the right person, I am Santa, Count Panic.
And, of course, people just hearing us on the radio, you can always catch Bob on Podcast
Land, wherever you find podcasts.
And it's free, right?
It is free.
Just go Bob After Dark.
Spotify, Apple, whatever you want.
So this episode will be up soon.
Absolutely. It should be up Thursday.
Yeah, I'll put it in Dropbox tonight.
Sounds good. Yeah,
or whatever we have. Google Drive.
All right, Count Panic.
Yeah.
Do you have any closing words for the audience this evening?
Bob, everybody have a great holiday season. The veil is thin. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, it's all coming up here. So everybody just enjoy Yule and enjoy time with each other. Right? As Bob, you said it earlier, appreciate who you got now in your life and have Have a good time.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for watching and listening, everybody. This, I think, is our last episode of the year.
Yeah.
So thank you for a good 2024, everybody. I know I missed a lot because I'm missing organs, but I'm still here. So on behalf of me and Count Panic, I just want to say goodnight, everybody. Thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom, sweet dreams, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you're happy and have the best dreams of them all. And to Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're having a very good holiday yourself. Love you, everybody. Good night, and see you next time on Bob After Dark. And there's two important rules.
Yes, I was
not
say.
All who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.